Well, you can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Tonight we're going to be, titled tonight's teaching, The Reason for the Season. We're going to be looking at Jesus Christ, who he is, what the Word of God says about him, because he is the reason for the season. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, it records some information about Jesus Christ and who he was. In verse 30 it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name," what? Jesus. So Mary was going to be the mother of Jesus. "And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father or ancestor David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be? How's this going to work? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called" what? The Son of God. That's right. The Son of God. So Jesus was a man. He wasn't God. He was a man. And he was born like any other man, with one major exception. God was his actual father. Right? Normally you need a man and a woman to make a baby. But in this case, Mary knew not a man. And so when she asked, how's that going to happen? I don't know a man. The answer was, well, God's going to be his father. God's going to be his father. So Jesus is special and unique in that God took the place of the man when making Jesus, and God is his literal and actual father. Go to John, the Gospel of John 3:16. So the Word of God says that Jesus was a man, born like any other baby, had a mom, had to grow up. But what made him special was that God was his actual father. And in John 3:16 it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son. Only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus was unique and special in that God was his father. And it says here in 3:16 that he is the only one like that. He is the only begotten Son of God. So he is one of one, right? He's born of a woman, but his actual father is God, and he's the only one to be that way. And God sent him because he loves each of us so very much, right? God so loved the world, and that includes us, that he sent his only begotten Son. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And this time of year, we celebrate Jesus Christ's birth. It's not his actual birthday. His actual birthday is in September. But we celebrate it and we recognize it around this time of year. That's what Christmas is all about, is to acknowledge and celebrate the birth of the only begotten Son of God. And in Genesis 3, verse 13, it talks about this is the first prophecy about Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman," speaking of Eve, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman Eve said, "The serpent beguiled me," or tricked me. "The serpent tricked me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And then here is the prophecy. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." And her seed would be Jesus Christ. "And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." So this is the first prophecy about a Messiah, or a Redeemer. And that would be Jesus Christ. And the whole Bible is basically about Jesus Christ. So from the very beginning here in Genesis, it talks about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament contains tons of prophecies about Jesus Christ and his coming. And it also includes records about the Christ line and what God did to preserve that Christ line to ensure that Jesus Christ would come. And then the Gospels, when you get to the Gospels, they're about Jesus Christ's life. And then when you finish the Gospels, it talks about who we are with Christ in us and about the hope of his return and what happens when he comes back. So the whole Bible itself almost deals with Jesus Christ from beginning to end, right? He is the subject of almost the entire Bible. So who is Jesus Christ, right? We've already seen that he was a man, that Mary was his mom, that God was his father. Go to John chapter 5. What does the Word of God say about Jesus Christ? And who he was as a person. Because he was a person. Like you and me. He had to wake up every day. He had to take a shower. Well, a bath. Or something, whatever that, yeah, I guess baths. He had to wash himself. You know what I mean. He had to eat, he had to drink, he had to go to the bathroom. He was just like us. John chapter 5, verse 30. It says, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will." I don't do whatever I want, "but the will of the Father which has sent me." Right? And so Jesus Christ didn't do just whatever he wanted to do. He always did what God wanted him to do. He always did the will of the Father. So whatever God told Jesus Christ to do, Jesus Christ would listen and obey. Right? We were all kids once, and a lot of us have kids. And we know that sometimes when our parents say something, we don't do it. But Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. So he always did what God wanted him to do. He didn't just go and do whatever he wanted to do. Now, because Jesus Christ had God as his actual Father, he was born without sin. That's what made him, another thing that made him special. He was born without sin. Everybody else born has sin in their blood, but Jesus Christ did not, because God was his Father. And in Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or what we say, what we professed. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Right? Jesus Christ is not this high priest that has no idea what we go through. but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what?
Sin.
So Jesus Christ wasn't some high priest that had no idea what we deal with day to day, the difficult things that we deal with in life, right? He understood it. It says that he was tempted in all points. He was tempted like as we were, yet without sin. He was born without sin, but he had to live his life and make decisions and do things to stay that way, to maintain that. He was betrayed, right? He had people he loved very much hurt him and do very terrible things to him. He knew what it felt like to be so hungry that he could die. He went 40 days. That's a long time, not eating. He got angry, right? It says that he got angry and he overthrew the money changers' tables in the temple. He got angry, but he didn't sin. He became super famous that everybody followed him around and would have done whatever he told them to do. But in all those things, all those temptations, all those stuff that he had to deal with, he never sinned. He walked perfectly because he chose to always do what God told him to do, right? He always did the right thing because he was always doing the will of the Father. And why is that important? Well, go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So Jesus Christ is just a man, born like any other man, with one exception, that God was his Father, and born sinless. But he had to live a life where he was tempted, where he went through these same things that you and I go through. But he always did the will of the Father. And that was a choice. That was a free will decision. He had to be strong enough mentally, spiritually, to do those things. Romans 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, or exactly the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, or demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That means he died for you. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so why was it important that Jesus Christ lived his whole life without sin? Because he was to redeem mankind. He was the one who was doing to buy us all back. And that would not have been available if Jesus Christ had sinned, right? He wasn't a sinner, but he died for us to redeem us from sin. And then God did something amazing. He raised him from the dead. Go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. So Jesus Christ had to live a life where he obeyed God all the time in order for him to be able to redeem mankind. He learned that about himself as he grew up. He had to read what the Word of God said about him. It's kind of mind-blowing to think about. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning," this is after Jesus Christ was crucified, "they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them," the figures said unto the people, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is what?
Risen.
God raised him from the dead. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. and they remembered his words. Right? So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. God raised his only begotten Son from the dead. Right? He is risen. So he gave his life for us, but God raised him from the dead. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, we'll see what happens after he was raised from the dead. Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Well, now that you're back from the dead, is it time for you to finally make sure that Israel is the world superpower? Because that's what they thought the Messiah would do. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they were looking at him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So they were just sitting there hanging out like, hey, now that you're back, are we taking over stuff now? Is it time to make Israel the superpower? And he's like, yeah, I gotta go. And he was taken up into heaven. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Right? So he ascended up into heaven, and that's where he is right now, seated at the right hand of God. But as it says in verse 11, he's also coming back. In the like manner as you saw him go up, he's coming back. Go to Romans chapter 10. So God raised him from the dead, and then not too long after, he ascended up to heaven. And that's where he is right now, waiting for the time to come back. Just like we heard tonight. Our announcement, Jesus Christ is coming back. But because he accomplished all of that, in Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, so if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, which we just read that that's what happened, thou shalt be what? Saved. And that's how easy it is to get born again. If you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you're saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." All right, so this is how we get born again. He is our Lord and Savior. He was to be the Redeemer of mankind, and God made it so simple that all we have to do is confess him as our Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. And then we're saved. We're saved from sin too, right? We're born again. Now we're going to heaven. And it's all because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. In chapter 8 of Romans, verse 15, because we can get born again, that makes us sons of God. And if we are sons of God, well, let's look at it. Chapter 8, verse 15. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Right? So now we are sons and daughters of God too. Now, we're not begotten of God. That was just Jesus Christ, right? I have a mother and a father, an earthly father. But I am a son of God because I'm born again. I have Holy Spirit. And so that makes me a son of God. And in verse 17, it says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so we are joint heirs with Christ, which means we are brothers and sisters with Christ, right? Everyone here is my brother or sister in Christ. And that makes Jesus Christ our big brother, right? Jesus Christ is all of our big brother. He was the first begotten Son of God. And now, because of what he accomplished, we too can be sons and daughters of God. And that makes him our big brother. And go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So he is the reason for the season. We celebrate his birth. What he means to the whole world, to you and I, as our Lord and Savior, as our Redeemer, and what he accomplished for our lives, and how big God loved all of us to give us a Redeemer and to call us to be his kids. And as it said in Acts, he's coming back. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which means those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or have passed away in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede or come before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is how he's coming back. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So all those who believed, Romans 10, 9 and 10, they get to get up first. And then we, which are alive and remain, who also were born again, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Right? And so there's a day coming where Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he does, we'll be gathered together. And if we're alive when he comes, we go right up with him. And if it's after we've passed on, we'll be getting up too. But we will be with him and God and each other forever. And that's what God's made so freely available to all of us who believe. And that's what Jesus Christ has accomplished for our lives. So, lots to be thankful for, right? He is the reason for the season and all that he's accomplished for our lives. And that's something that we can share with other people, right? When they talk about what's going on at Christmas, you can remind them of why it's Christmas, what it all means, and what Jesus Christ has accomplished for your life and what's available to them.